enemy.
And that personality or the personalities are giants.
Men possum me kobu koke maraga mara miere na men mo me mak songoru.
They come to intimidate you.
Amma seri eri unya na sien ida munya.
They come to frighten you.
Amma seri na ida munya sien.
They come to weaken you.
Amma seri na ida munya.
So that you are not able to stand up to them.
Abokuro boke mo ichamele legira imana mo.
So tonight we are going to look at these giants. Have a description of what their business is. Understand how they operate. And maybe finally get the tactics or the strategy on how we are going to overcome
them.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I believe that by the time we finish all this, nobody will tell you where you are and what you need to do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
We will begin by looking at we'll look at who a giant is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we'll take the first scripture. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. I know that some of you will know the story. It has to do with a man called
Goliath.
I don't know how many of you that know that Goliath was a giant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We'll go down to look at verse. Okay, let's take it from verse 1. He said, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together and at Shokok. Which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Shokok and Azekah,
he fed
Damin. Now I'll give you a little clue. When you see a word ending with min, it describes the habitation of giants. It describes the village of giants. Okay, that is by the way. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side. And Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named
Goliath
of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. I want you to take note that Goliath has been described as a champion. And who is a champion? The man who keeps winning, is it not so? Hallelujah. He has not lost any battle. He has arrested and overcome many people. So no one can stand before him. If they say you are a champion, a world champion, for example, you know Usain Bolt? Is it not so? You people are looking at me. Don't you know Usain Bolt again? You know him. Hallelujah. Is he a champion? Why is he a champion? He's the fastest runner in the world. That's why he's a champion. In other words, nobody can run like him. Goliath, nobody can fight like him. If they come for a competition and you see, let's say they call me to come into race with Usain Bolt, what do you think will happen to me? Mention of the name, I'm already melting. Amen. So nobody can stand Goliath. All the nations around them, no man could stand Goliath. Because when he goes to warfare, you are very sure he's going to win. So when his name is mentioned, everybody comes trembling. Everybody is afraid. Not only that, his physical appearance is intimidating. 6 feet and a span. Did I say 6 feet?
Yeah.
6 cubits and a span. That is about 18 feet. How many? About 18, right? It's about 18 feet. That is about this height. About 12 feet. Okay, anyhow he is. Listen, I am not up to 6 feet. Let's say I'm here. You put another me on top. That is the height of Goliath. How much more, my brother? It's 3 times your height. Amen. Now, if such a person just takes 2 steps forward, and the little you and me are standing there, you are even dead before he steps forward. Amen. That was the man called Goliath. And Goliath was, he was a giant. Never mind, just hold on there. We are going to get a further description of who a giant looks like. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 21. We will read it from verse 16. Hallelujah. Let's look at it there. From verse 16. 2 Samuel 21. He says, and Ishbi-benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of his spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight. He being guarded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruah, who called him, and smote the Philistine, and killed him. Then the men of David swore unto him, saying, thou shalt not go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. And it came to pass after this, that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Shebishai, the Hushethite, slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giants. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jeriel origin, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature. I want you to know that giants have great what? Stature. Number two is that giants are always engaged in battle. So, verse 20 says that he had on every hand six fingers, and on his every foot six toes, 24 in number. And he also was born to the giants. In other words, giants are extraordinary human beings. While you have five fingers, they have six. While you have five toes, they have six. They are extraordinary human beings. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So on every front, you are bound to be afraid. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says these four.
Okay,
21. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan the son of Shammai, the brother of David, slew him. These four were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his father. I don't know whether you know where we're going. That irrespective of the intimidating height, irrespective of their record of having overcome many, irrespective of how they are made up, irrespective of their weapon that they use, there is a people that will still overcome them. If that, this is the end of the message. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, every other thing that will be said is to just tell you that you can overcome the giant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Because many of us are so much afraid. Let me tell you something. The spirits that war in your community, they are giants. The ones that fight in my own family, they are giants. The ones that operate in my community, they are giants. There are places where we have been. You cannot open your mouth and mention the name of a particular deity. There is a place in River State. They sleep with python. That is, python come in And when he comes in, you cannot open your mouth and talk. You just have to be quiet and let the python just sleep there in your room. Because if you open your mouth and say anything, you are inviting trouble. If you dare go and kill it, oh, you will fight this battle all through your life. So the best thing they do is to just leave it. When it is tired, it will go. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is a giant.
Amen.
There was one brother or a sister. Hallelujah.
Amen.
She identified that there is a giant in their family. A particular deity that had been striking them in the family. And she felt that, listen, she needs to call the brethren to come and go. And pray for the family and destroy this idol that has been intimidating them. That this particular deity have held them in bondage, that it has held them in poverty and in wretchedness. By the time you know it, the elder sister was struck with stroke and she died. The other one, another thing happened to her. So she just said, listen, why don't I call my elder brother? Meanwhile, the younger brother, things are not just straight with the younger brother. He says, since my elder brother is a Christian, let me go and tell him so that he can spearhead this prayer session in our family. She went and told the brother. The brother said, please count me out. I am not going anywhere. Amen. The man was afraid. He could not stand the deity in his father's house. He could not stand the giant. The battle is upon his mind. The whole thing is upon his mind. He has just imagined what he's going to do. He said, like, that this giant will kill me. He has been killing other people. And that was the end of the matter till today. Hallelujah. If I give this microphone to Brother Ebere, he will tell you a lot of stories. Of a place they went to in Ikwano. When the deity appeared, he carried a brother, threw him up, knocked him on the floor. Spin him, throw him up, knock him on the floor. So tell me, if you are in that kind of place and you see this happen, will you ever dare? Will you ever attempt to go and do any deliverance? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we are dealing with giants tonight. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the Lord told me that the people of God have come under the intimidation of this giant for so long. Because their mind is weak. Because there is no strength in their mind. The Bible says, I think it's in Ephesians, that thou might be strengthened by the Spirit in the inward man. You need strength in the inward man. You need strength in your mind. You need life in your mind to be able to stand before the giants. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now there are six types of giants. Just go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 2. And you are going to see for yourself that these giants, they are not here for play. If you don't do anything about it, you are going to be knocked down, stepped upon, defeated. There are six types of giants. Number one giant is called the Anakims. From Deuteronomy chapter 2, not chapter 7, chapter 2. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just go up. Go up, keep going. Hallelujah. All right, let's take it from verse 1 so that we don't waste time. We'll go gradually. He says, then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness. By the way of the Red Sea. As the Lord spoke unto me. And we compassed Mount Seir many days. This is like the picture of the people of God. We have moved and we are right in the wilderness. And how many of us are here that don't know we are in a wilderness journey? We are right in the wilderness. When once you get born again, you leave the world and God throws you into the wilderness. Hallelujah. God has an expectation of you that you must find your way around. Hallelujah. Into the land of promise. That in this wilderness, every manner of thing happens. You are going to be hungry. You are going to want clothes. Not only that, you are going to be engaged in series of warfare. So never you think that it is a bed of roses. Any man that tells you that when you get born again everything will be nice is a false doctrine. That when you get born again everything will start to move smoothly. It is not true. It is not true. And it can never be true. You must fight your way through. You must contend your way through. But you know what the Lord told them? He said, listen, you know this battle? It is not your battle. It is my battle. When our hearts are established in God, He fights the battle for us. Even though there are giants on the way, He will fight the battle for us. So it is not a no battle affair in the wilderness. Every manner of thing will come upon you. You either survive or you die in the wilderness. Out of many of them that moved out of Egypt, many of them in the wilderness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But I'm determined. I say I will not die in this wilderness. I must see the end. I must enter this land of promise. I refuse to be distracted. I refuse to submit to the intimidations of battle. I say I must get inside. Hallelujah. And I believe that many of us tonight will be resolved about that. So he told them, he said, and the Lord spoke unto me, saying, you have compassed this mountain long what? Enough. He told them, he said, now turn what? Northward. Hallelujah. Do you know that many Christians have compassed the mountain for so long? They are just on one spot. Many end time people are just on one spot. They have compassed the mountain long enough. They don't know what to preach again. They have run out of topic. They don't know what to believe again. They are getting even confused. Instead of going forward, many of them are going backward. They don't know where to go again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that is a sign that they have compassed this mountain for long
enough.
They don't know what to do again, so they begin to organize show business. They bring in comedians, for heaven's sake, into the church, because they don't know what to say again. They now import Suya Night. Into the church. And one, I was reading one magazine, that one suya, they say one suya is 1,000 naira. Depending on the size, some 2,000 naira for one suya. If they were just doing it and giving it out for free, maybe we pardon them. But what if they turned it into a money raising venture? They don't know what to do again. The church has gotten tired. They have run out of steam. No more strength to move on. So they now settle. And God came to them. Said, listen, you have stayed on this mount for so long. Now look, you begin to go northward. Do you know where north is? Where is north? Where is not? Hallelujah. The city of God. He said, now begin to face to go to God. In other words, he was telling them, repent. Turn around. And start going northward. Turn around from the direction you are going. And begin to face God. That was what God was telling them. He says, and command out the people, saying, you are to pass through the coast of your brethren. And all that, just go up. Hallelujah. Keep on going. We don't want to talk about meddling. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, hold on. Go to verse. Okay, keep going. I think he's in verse. Okay, hold on there. Verse 10. Amen. Okay, for let's take it from 8. He says, and when we pass by from our brethren, the children of Israel, which dwell in Seir, through the way of the plain, from Elath, and from Ezengabi, we turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. And the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have given unto the children of Lot for possession. But look at verse 10. He says, the enemies dwell therein in time past. God said that there were a people who were occupying that place in time past. And their name is the Emmons. Emmons are giants. Look at it. He said, a people great and many and tall as the Anakim. Hallelujah. So Anakim is one of the giants. Since the Emims are like them, let's talk a little bit about the Anakims. Anakims, their name means that which strangulates. That which strangulates. You know the way you wear your necklace.
And maybe you wanna say a common boy tongue of
there is one necklace they call choker. You know that word is can choke.
The move of tongue.
The Anakims are chokers.
Monty got anakin money say for follow with tongue.
They hold you and you can't breathe. They hold you like that until the man dies. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is the Anakims. And you know the way they walk. These giants make sure they mount pressure on you until you choke. Is it not so? You go through a time of need. It's quite choking. Hallelujah.
Amen.
School is about to resume. You have 5 children. All of them in private secondary school. And your income is not measurable. It begins to choke. And you know what the devil does? This giant comes upon your mind. I want to ask you, do you know why many people have blood pressure? It's because the giant has come over their mind and begin to press them until you cannot breathe anymore. And when you cannot breathe anymore, you start struggling. Your blood pressure runs up. Your blood pressure runs up. The man is choking. And I tell you, on the physical level, some people die in that process. They say the man died in his what? Sleep. We're coming. Amen.
Amen.
The Anakims are here, my brother. They have come to choke the people of God. They have come to make sure they take life out of you. There are things that come upon us that take life, strength out of us. You keep on running around. They are just sapping life out of you. I can also tell you that the Anakim is a very serious religious spirit. You run up and down, up and down, up and down. In the name of God. As you keep on running up and down, there is nothing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't know whether you have them here in Akwa Ibom. There are people in church called Holy Police. Have you seen them before? You haven't seen Holy Police before?
They say it's not here.
It's not here. It's a lie. It is here. There is holy police in every church in this Nigeria. When church is going on, they are the people that wear vests and stand outside. And they are watching over other people's cars. My brother, for 52 weeks in a year, you are standing outside when church is going on. Tell me what kind of Christian you will be. They say security. Okay, they do shift.
Okay,
good, they do shift. I pray that the shift you will get will be the one that you will hear the word the Lord will have for you for that particular day. And that is why you have a lot of carnal Christians in the church. Because religious spirit has taken over. They have one need or the other. They don't know what to do. Because this giant is sitting over there and making sure they don't understand what God is saying. When they run into any particular challenge, they are choked. Right from their mind, they have told themselves that this one is not possible. They are Anakims. They are giants. They are here. They are walking in the realm of your mind. They come to intimidate you. They come to tell you, listen, this problem cannot be solved. They come to tell you, as long as we are here, your fathers have tried. They did not succeed. We brought them on our side. And since you are through their loins, you are going to inherit the same thing. Is that not why many their fathers die of high blood pressure? They also have blood pressure. Because it is running in the family. It is running in their genes. And God says, there is a generation that will deal with that spirit and cut it off completely. Let's quickly talk about the enemies. Enemies is the spirit of terror. The giant of terror. The spirit of terror. And this spirit has brought the whole world to their knees. Let me tell you, you haven't seen anything yet. This one we are talking now, Boko Haram, we haven't seen anything yet. Hallelujah. You read that ahead. That Boko Haram is begging. They want to surrender. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, we pray that it shall be so. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They have not overcome ISIS in Syria. Rather, people in Syria are running out, leaving their country. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That spirit is not easily overcome. It is a giant. It has run down many nations. It has run down many families. Tell me what how you feel. Somebody enters your house with AK-47. No discussion. No negotiation. You don't know him. You don't owe him. And he just opens fire on you. What spirit do you think? In fact, by the time 2 a.m. he knocks on your gate, you are already a dead man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is the spirit of the enemy. That is the giant. It is the spirit of terrorism. It is the spirit that takes over the realms of the minds of men. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You say, how does it concern me? How it concerns you is that there are kidnappers around now. There are armed robbers around now. There are assassins around now. Mere mention of them, you melt. That is how it concerns you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But my brother, my sister, there is a people that will withstand this spirit. There is a people that will overcome this giant. They are not coming from outer space. Some of them are seated here tonight. Because God is going to do a work in the realm of their mind. That spirit that come to intimidate will have no part in them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is the spirit of the giant of enemies. They may be great. There may be many of them. They may be tall. But there is a people that will overcome them. And tonight we are preparing for war to overcome them. He says unto them, he said, prepare war. He said, let the men of war begin to rise up. Let's go to the next verse. It says, which also we are counted giants as the Anakims, but the Moabites call them gods. He said that the Moabites call them enemies. They call them terrorists. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then you have the Horims. Also, they dwell in Mount Seir. What is their own role? The Horims are cave dwellers. In other words, when once they hear kparam, they run into the cave. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's the spirit of fear. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not just fear. It's also the spirit of poverty. Hallelujah.
Amen.
How can a whole human being, you make your house cave? That is where you dwell. Hallelujah. Many of our houses are caves, let me tell you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you know what a cave is? A cave has only one outlet to go out. Only one door. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And at night you just roll over one big stone and cover it. And not only that, the cave is very dark inside. If you enter inside, you may not know where I'm hiding. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Have you gotten into my brother's house before? Your own house.
I don't know, me.
Your house have a lot of burglaries.
A lot of protectors.
And sometimes many rooms. So that when they come, they won't find where you are. Hallelujah. Our homes have become caves. How about the high wall fence? Hallelujah.
Amen.
There are places in some countries where there are no fence. No burglaries. Do they have two heads? Are they not the same human beings? Why are we living in caves? Because of the Horims. These giants intimidate you. So, listen, I have been in a place where people don't even lock their doors. They don't lock their cars. Amen. Because they believe no man can do anything. Hallelujah. But on the other side of the coin, these same people that believe and behave this way, one day they woke up to realize that there is a coordinated attack. One involving a girl and two boys. Didn't you hear it, that it happened in France? Let me tell you, France, if you drop your money here, nobody will touch it. Everything, they felt so secure. But they woke up one day, the enemies invaded their town. And then they began to learn some lessons. What am I trying to say? Some of us, we feel so secure. You feel nothing can reach you. But I have seen the rich also cry. Why? Because this giant is no respecter of any person. It dwells within you. It dwells within the realm of your mind. In this place, nobody can access it. It only will take the power of God to get close to your mind and to change your mind and transform your mind and take away the terror and take away the fear and take away the intimidation, so that this giant will have no power over you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's take another giant. They are all there. Hallelujah. You talk about the Zanzumins. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the spirit of intrigue. Wayo. Cunning. Craftiness. Not only that, this is the same spirit that plants evil in the realm of the mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's a giant.
Don't
play with it. It's the same spirit that will cause, you see your brother. He did not do you anything. But he just discovered you hate him. Sometimes for flimsy reasons. He did not greet me. I invited him and he did not come. By that you know you have offenses in the realm of your mind. And to make it worse. Because this spirit is a spirit of wayo. Oh, brother. But oh, yes, how now? God bless you. Don't mind, brother. Don't mind. The other day I called him. Meanwhile, the man just said hello to you and opened his teeth white and greeted you. Meanwhile, in your heart, you are harboring something inside of your mind. It's a giant. He sits over many people, manipulating them. This spirit is also the spirit of witchcraft. Because it always manipulates and has its way. He knows where to touch you and then he will get what he wants. And I can tell you, brother, that spirit, I see it a lot in Akwa Ibom State. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Another place where I have seen that happen is in the West. Hallelujah. Forget the regional, but I can tell you also, you hear, sometimes we say, when this man tells you good morning, you better look at your wristwatch. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Connie?
Voila.
Never see you, they will never see you prosper. It is in the realm of the mind. And I can tell you, Christians are becoming victims of this spirit. Because our minds are not transformed. Because our lives are not changed. We just say, believe in the Lord Jesus and you are born again. That is all. All your problems are over. It's a big lie. The dealings of the cross must condescend to the realm of my mind. The blood of Yeshua must come down to the realm of my mind. It must do a serious work to purge my mind. from every field and from every impurity. My nature must be changed. And I can tell you, without that, you cannot withstand the giant. Hallelujah. And we take the last one.
Not the last,
the advent. This is the spirit of overthrow, the spirit that easily overcomes the man. It's a giant. How many of us are easily taken with anger? A little thing, you are angry. You have right to overcome it. No way. This spirit has overcome you. This giant has overpowered you. Anywhere you go, people know you that don't touch him, as much as they will get angry. These days they even say, you know, I get
£10.
The man has been totally overtaken. Some people are even overtaken in the church. Overtaken by the spirit of sexual immorality. This is a giant called the spirit of besetting sin. It overcomes a man and it becomes useless. It can do nothing about it. That is the giant called the Abims. It's the spirit that have come to overtake and overthrow and overcome a man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is the spirit of the Abims. Maybe you go down again, just go up, you will see it there. And finally, there is this spirit called the Captorims. The spirit of the Captorims. When you go back, just tap on that, you will see what it means. It's the spirit that lays it. The giant that lays it. Do you know what it's called, Reed? When somebody is dead, they carry flower and put on your grave. On his grave. That signifies that this one is dead and what? Buried. It is all over. They say it is all over. When once they lay it on a grave, everybody goes there. As the giant that says, your case is over. That you are no longer existing. Even though you are alive, they have passed death sentence over the man. Nobody makes mention of you. This particular one is useless. Hallelujah. That is the spirit of death. Everything about them is dead. Their future is gone. Whatever the man puts his hand to do, nothing works. And many of them, you know where they end up? Christian, they commit suicide. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The spirits have already concluded the burial. I was telling the brethren last Sunday, a Baptist pastor.
Oh,
a whole Baptist pastor. Everybody loved him in the congregation. His name is Gibson, Reverend Gibson, that's what they call him. But the man committed suicide. Why did he commit suicide? He has been having a secret romance somewhere. And there is a particular website that keep record of people who are having affairs outside their marriage. The website is called Ashley Madison. But all those mad children in China went and hacked that site and expose the names of the people who are patronizing prostitutes and who are having marital affairs. And this man's name was exposed. he found himself a disappointment. And indeed, he was a disappointment. But lo and behold, the Catarims, the giants have already overcome him. Even though he was still alive, talking with his family, they knocked him down with the spirit of depression. The man was depressed. The wife was trying to comfort him, but no way. He just waited for them when they were out of the house. He went and hung himself. He could not forgive himself. Whenever you find yourself not forgiving yourself, a giant is sitting over your soul. A giant has occupied the realm of your mind. And all he's telling you, commit suicide. He told me, your life is of no good. Nothing you have put your hand into that top. Because your mind is in trouble. Hallelujah. I don't know why we are saying this tonight. I don't know whether there is somebody here who is planning to commit suicide. That giant must be rebuked tonight. You are depressed. You have given up on life. That spirit will be rebuked tonight. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is the end of the story. Hallelujah. But let's go back. Let's look at that first Samuel 17 again. Let's talk a little bit about a man who was able to withstand the giant. And let us look at the strategy and the things he used to overcome the giant. 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel, not Deuteronomy. 1 Samuel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It has to do with a man called David. 1 Samuel. No. S-A-M. Hallelujah. Have you gotten it now? Okay. First Samuel 17. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the Philistines, and we see that Goliath, a giant, he had helmet of brass upon his head. I'm reading from verse 5. And he was armed with a coat of mail. He was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And look at verse 8. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel. This giant is standing and crying out to the armies of Israel. And he's saying, where are the armies? Where are the soldiers that are supposed to be fighting? Now you better come out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You better come out. The more he cried, some people were hiding. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the man who is crying, in front of him, somebody is holding his shield. There is no how you will look at how this man was equipped and you won't be afraid. He stood and he defied the whole army. Look at all of you. Nobody is able to stand before me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In fact, many appeared in the scene. Saul, who is closer in height to him. The man took a back seat and was murmuring. He was asking his people, who is going to go there now? For that moment, the man was confused. And I tell you, that is what happens in the church. The church has lost its power to deal with certain cases. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The ones we handle is when you have headache, we'll pray for you. You have malaria, we'll pray for you. But when once you mention cancer, everybody. You already tell yourself it is incurable. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But they are shouting. Get out your best men, let them come. Let them come and let us fight. Because this particular battle is winner take it all. Winner takes it all. So there is no mistaking the fact that you must be ready for the battle. If you are not ready, they say go back home. You know, Israel does that every time. Israel does that every time. If you are not ready for the battle, go back home. God is looking for men who will stand up to Goliath. God is looking for men who will fight against this giant. They have terrorized the land for so long. They have put the families under bondage for so long. God is looking for men who will stand. So it was with Gideon in that day. And they all ran out. We want to go and fight. This is no time for we, everybody, what bandwagon effect. This is not the time. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody rushed out. God told Gideon, he said, relax. All these people you see here, they're shaking. I'm going to try them for you. Tell them to go to the river. Hallelujah.
Amen.
One of the things you can use to overcome the giant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You want to know what it is? How do you lap the water? How do you drink the water? That is the selection process. That is what is going to set you apart. Many of us don't even drink at all. Those who drink, drink it lousily. That God is looking for men who are in a hurry to drink this water. He is looking for men who are not going to do anything anyhow. God is looking for such a people. They are going to lap the water. Hallelujah. He says with stammering tongue will I speak to that people. You know, many end time church people. I say many. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I have it on a good authority that many end time church people don't speak in tongues. They are not baptized in the Holy Ghost. Many of them. and you want to go and confront giants, my dear, they will match you, and your case will be history. If you do not have the Holy Ghost, you cannot fight. Just know it loud and clear, because that is one of the implements we need. We need the word of God. We need the power and the power and the strength of prayer in this hour. Not any and any prayer. Jesus has to tell them once. You know this type? It does not go out except by what? By prayer and what? Many Christians want to fight with giants. When you mention fasting, they draw back. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For the about 30,000 men who came out for war with Gideon, they drove back home to 700, went back home. Only 300 people qualified to go into that battle. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 You cannot face the giant except by the power of the word, by the blood of the Lamb, by the words of our testimony. The Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the words of their testimony, and they do not love their lives unto the death. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So look at what David did. Let's go up. Look at the boastings. Let's look at verse 9. The boastings of Goliath. He said, verse 9. If he is able, he said, take one person. I just need one person. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What we need is one person. I don't know whether it has ever occurred to you. If you try to fight giants as an individual, you are gone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to dwell a little bit on this because we are missing it. The end time church is missing it. God wants only one man. God wants only one church. God wants only one baptism. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He wants only one body. And in this one body, it is a many-membered body. But today we have champions in the church. We have men who arrogate to themselves the glory of God. End time church don't know what it means to have a one body ministry. Some of us believe that it must come, everything must come from the chief elder. Some believe that if it is not the elder saying it, nobody can say it. God is looking for one body. Many members body. That is what God is looking for. Because it is this one many membered body that can withstand the giant. Oh, glory to God. I have seen where doctors say that this one has cancer. And the body marched down in unison. In one heart. In one faith. And they say, cancer will rebuke you. Get out. And the person goes to the hospital the following day. They say, what happened? I can see you are changed. You are not looking the way you came yesterday. What happened? Hallelujah.
Amen.
The giants in the land can only be overrun
by a many member body. That is the solution. If the body is not united as one, forget it. Right now, it's all politics. And parakpo spirit, do you understand? You must come from my village. Then we can agree. Some of them that are making waves in Port Harcourt, they went and told others, they said, come, let us build this church together. You are from my place. The church is not built that way. The many members or that we went to the same school. Okay, that we must agree because we graduated the same year. The church is not built in that fashion. Some of them, they want them to belong. To anyone that come, every Tom, Dick and Harry is a pastor. So that they will build up the church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I have seen in such a group that even the people they call pastor, they steal money from their purse. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They are called pastor. They told one, she was in charge of printing. I won't call the organization. She was in charge of printing. While in Lagos, I saw her. Hallelujah. Heaps of paper. But you know what happens? They will overbuy. The rest they sell and collect the money and put in their pocket. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They are called pastors. The body must function as a many-membered body. If you want to overcome the giant in the land of Ikpe, you must operate as one body. If you want to overcome the spirit that have been intimidating the people of God in this land, you must put aside politics. You must put aside money-making ventures. I hope you don't misunderstand me. When the church begins to engage in money making venture, instead of using the offering to better the lives of the brethren, they want to invest it in business. When once we begin to think that way, we have missed it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. The church must begin to think again. How can we meet our hearts together? We meet, we are not thinking. Listen, I don't even know where some of the brethren that fellowship with us in Port Harcourt come from. And I don't want to know. It doesn't worry me where you come from. I'm not going to treat, you know, relate with you because of where you come from. I'm not going to relate with you because of the level of your education. If you don't go to university, then I cannot talk to you. Oh, you don't go to university, then therefore you cannot bring ministry. That is foolishness. That is walking outside the scripture. A man like Peter never went to school. But in the day of Pentecost, the power of God began to walk through him. And he spoke for several hours. He brought revelation of the things he never knew. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that place was turned upside down. What I care for is that is there life in this place? And where the body unites, working as one, compulsively there must be life. When we begin to work as one man, there is nothing we can ask God he will not do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is the only way we can overcome the giant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. One man. Hallelujah. One body. I don't know how Goliath will be able to handle this. Hallelujah. Well, how he can handle the whole of the church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, but if I prevail against him, kill him, then shall ye be our servant and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. My God, Goliath is going, this giant is going around defiling the armies of God. That is why we have diabetes in the church. We have high blood pressure in the church. We see men dying because this giant has intimidated the church. But tonight, we say it is enough. You're not shouting loud enough.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said you should give one man so that they will fight. But look at Saul. Look at verse 11. He said, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly what? Afraid. That is, even before the war started, they were already overcome by the giant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, David was the son of that Ephratite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons. Hallelujah. His father had 8 sons. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
8 sons. A new beginning. I believe God is raising sons in this hour. He is raising men and women who will stand and withstand the spirit. He said the name of one is David. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know what David did? The character of David and men who made themselves available. Nobody is going to coerce you. Nobody is going to force you. But they see the area of need. And they say, I give my life for this. Hallelujah. The nature of David is the life of a shepherd. They have the heart of shepherds. They have a heart of compassion one toward another. They have the heart of love one towards another. They hate to see one person suffering. They are willing to lay down their life for the rest of the people. If you don't have this kind of heart, you cannot go forth and fight the giant. You cannot withstand the giant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, when Jesus saw this particular person sick, you know what he said? He said Jesus had compassion. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The people that God is raising in this hour to be able to overcome the giant, they must have the nature of Jesus. If you don't have the nature of Jesus, you cannot make it. One good thing about this kind of people who will kill and destroy the giant, they say they have the ability to lay down their life and to pick it up again. Hallelujah. This is their choice. Hallelujah. They make that choice. They are ready to lay down their life. Are you ready to lay down your life? When somebody in the church has a challenge, and without anybody coercing you, without anybody pushing you, Do you in your own secret place begin to fast for 3 days? Begin to fast for 7 days. And say, this thing that have come and overcome this brother, we must overcome it. Nobody is paying you salary for that. Nobody is even noticing you. But you lay down your life. He said, I want to see my brother deliver. Not when commits fornication. You run around and say, did you hear? Oh, this one did that. Oh, don't you know he has been overcome by this before? He became a story matter. Like the man that have the heart of David. This one body God is raising. They are going to go into the secret place and begin to cry and begin to weep. I say, God, deliver this brother. Oh, my life for his life. Until he is delivered, I'm not going to give up. That is the company God is raising in this hour. That is the company that will handle the giants and overcome it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, and the man went among the men for an old man in the days of Saul. You know what happened? His elder brothers, they were also in that battle. But they also were afraid of the giant. Just go up. I'm trying to summarize it so that we can pray. Hallelujah. But look at what happened. But David went and returned from Saul to feed the father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines, junior, morning and evening, presented himself for 40 days. Hallelujah. Is it a surprise to you that Jesus had to fast for 40 days? And 49, he knew what he was doing. That is the only way you can handle the giant. Because this terror will stand for 40 days. This giant will stand for 40 days. And 40 days speaks about the coming to the place of trial and tribulation. It's not about persistent tribulation. It talks about constant tribulation. Engineered by spirit. Therefore, God has set 40 days for it. And Jesus has given us example. You know, the giant came to him that day. After he has gone and settled it with God for 40 days and 40 nights, the spirits came. They took him up to a very high pinnacle. They now look around. Hallelujah. You know, many of us don't realize that the issue of wealth is a giant. Some of us don't realize that money is a giant. Money is something you need to overcome. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Many Christians cannot withstand money. End time people cannot withstand money. Bro, I know what I'm talking about. End time people cannot handle money. Money gets into your hand, you feel you are in heaven. They commit church money into your hand, you chop it. You cannot overcome money. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The devil took him.
And did you order
him? Listen, just look around. If you can only bow down to me, I will give you all of the world. All the, you know what he was doing? The giant was playing over his mind. Was playing over the realm of his emotion. To find out where his love lies. Hallelujah. Some of us cannot overcome the giant called fashion.
Oh,
Even our problems have become giants to themselves. When they greet you, well, they greet you, they, you know, you understand my condition now. But tonight, you can overcome. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it was for 40 days, this man presented himself morning and night. And Jesse said unto David, his son. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He sent him to go and do something. But the man, that wasn't where his attention was. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As he got into the battle, he got into the battle front. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he just heard the boastings of Goliath. He heard all the defying of the armies of Israel. He could not take it. Brethren, if we must progress in this hour, these people must overcome the giants in this time. The church must stop aligning with the world to castigate the church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't know whether you understand what I've just said. If you hear that this pastor slept with a woman, you join them. Even the other day, now so will the other one do too. Hallelujah. I can tell you that in the midst of all the chaff we see, there are men that God has called. So make no mistake about it. There are men that have the anointing of the Spirit of God. Therefore, be careful what you say. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is just by the way. Hallelujah. So David got into this battle. As he got into the battlefront, he heard what was being said. He went to his brothers and said, listen, I think I can stand this man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'm sure David was my brother's height.
No, I'm actually
and here he was talking to a man like say he's going to stand him. He's the last born. Glory to God. There is the last born church.
Oh yes.
And they are the church that will overcome this giant. He came to them, he told them, he said, I can stand this man. Come up for road. We're saying serious things. What are you talking about? He said, no, I can. He ran to another group. He said, you know, I can fight this man. Come on, get out. Come on. As they were doing that, it got to the ears of Saul. They allow him, let him come. Pity. That is the state of the church. They can't stand the devil anymore. Mad people stroll into our midst. We can't cast out the devil. Hallelujah. Every manner of sickness is insulting us. Listen, what I'm telling you, I'm not excluded. One day we went for a night vigil in Morocco, when Morocco was there in Lagos. With a brother they hold very highly among the Pentecostals. I was staying with him. He said, Brother Isaac, let's go for this night vigil. Tonight you are going to preach. When we go to the place, it's a hall like this. As we are waiting for other people to come, one woman and the husband came. And they dropped a little parcel in front of us. Do you know what was inside? A dead child. They say you people will pray so that this child will. Okay, what was the matter? No power to raise the dead! We prayed until our tongue wants to fall out. Nothing happened. That is the church. Hallelujah. But I can tell you something tonight. There is a people. When they speak, they rebuke them. And the dead is raised. Praise to unto life. That is the David company. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They may look very small, insignificant. Nobody knows them. They have no title. But when they speak, you know that there is a difference. When they lay hands on the sick, they are raised to life. When they touch men, they turn their poverty state to riches. And I'm not trying to exalt anybody. In ministering to people around, we have been to places where the people were rock bottom poor. But they opened their hearts. They received the word. And their lives and their environment were transformed. And I believe that God has such a people in this place. I'm saying that your lives are about to be changed. It will not be the same anymore. Hallelujah. Because tonight, God will use you to smite the giant over your life. Hallelujah. And that was the way it was with David. What did he use to fight Goliath? Hallelujah. Can you just go up a little bit? You are going too fast. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, and David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spoke according to the same word. And David heard it. David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were so afraid. They could not withstand Goliath. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defile Israel is he come? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. Hallelujah. That is the reward for men that will kill the giant. Hallelujah. That is the gift. The man who kills the giant, his life will be what? Enriched. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is number one. Your life will never remain the same. Your life becomes like a flowing stream. Anybody who come to you minister, you minister life. But the problem is that we are not ready and willing to pay the price. He says your life will be rich with great riches. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, when the Spirit of God is talking like this to us, when he talks about riches, he's not talking about your naira and your kobo. You know, many of us are here because of naira and kobo. But you are going to get something from God that is much more than that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, there are times you walk into a particular house. It's all fight going on. It's all struggle going on. But you just step into the house. And you just say hello to the people. Because of the life that is flowing out of you, you deposit peace in that house. And the families never remain the same. The quarrel between husband and wife vanishes. That is what we are talking about. You step in there. You cross the giants that is disturbing that family. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know what Jesus said? That if you carry this gospel, if you get into any house that receives you, hallelujah.
Amen.
That you do what you deposit your peace there. I don't think we understand what that means. It is much more than naira and kobo. It is depositing God in the midst of the people. It's bringing God in the midst of the people. It's bringing life in the midst of the people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That was what was happening here. He said that he will give him great riches. He said, I will give him his daughter and make his father's house free. It's not necessarily talking about Saul here. He's talking about what God is going to do in the life of the man who overcome the giant. Said, and David spoke to the men. David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killed this Philistine and take away this reproach from Israel? What is going to be done to the man who is willing to pay the price? There is reproach in Israel. There is a man that must take away this reproach. There must be a man that is willing to pay the price. He said, what is going to be done to him? Oh, another one says that he will be clothed in the king's apparel. Glory to God! Who amongst us is willing to pay the price? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When God confronted me with this a few weeks ago, my fasting pattern is that I fast from 6 to 6, normal, just the way you do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 My fasting pattern changed. I say, God, I will not fast 6 to 6 anymore. Unless in certain cases that I think is not serious. I said, this time I'm going to fast 6 from 6, 6, 6 in the morning to 6 the following morning. And if you still persuade me, I carry on for 2 days. And I carry on for the third day. I'm telling you, it is not come and eat granite and drink garri. This thing that God is saying tonight, it demands seriousness on your part. You must see that there is a reproach in Israel. There is so much insult by the giants. The fact that they got into the brother's house and began to shoot. They shot and shot and shot. They could not kill them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Nobody is taking credit for that.
Amen.
But I can tell you there are people who are withstanding this giant. If not, our brethren would have been history by now. A people must rise up, brethren. A people must say, enough of this insult. Enough of this insult. Hallelujah. That was what David was doing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
David was able to see the reproach Because these uncircumcised Philistines have come to defy the host of
Israel.
And the people answered him. After this man has said, so shall it be done to the man.
Like
by the time he was speaking, his brother came and overheard him. And his brother was angry. You cannot. There is a spirit that comes to discourage us. When you make up your mind, you want to seek God, it comes. It begins to make jest of you. Say you. You too. We are talking about people. You, are you one of them? You want to rise up in ministry. Is Brother Kona also among the prophets? And we get discouraged. But there is a company of people. Who will not be discouraged? You know, there are many Christians, older Christians, who will come and advise you. You are taking this thing too far. You are going too far, Sister Ife. But there is a people who will not give heed to that. They know what God has spoken to them. And they insist upon it. They say it is the will of God or nothing. That is the David company. David said, no. I know you are my elder brother. I respect you. But let me tell you something. I have learned all through these years. You were not there. I go into the wilderness to look after the sheep. And I see lion and bear come after the sheep. God has used that process to train me. And have assured me that even this giant, I will overcome him. The little training and experiences you are going through, God is using it to train you. God is using it to strengthen you. And I prophesy to you tonight that you very soon you are going to reap out of that labor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And David said, what have I now done? What have I done that I'm making myself available? And he turned. By the time he got to Saul, Saul tried to try him with all the gadgets. None of them worked. But the man had something in his bag. Oh, he had something in his bag. He had something that will surprise this giant. What do you have in the bag of your mind? What do you have on your mind? Hallelujah. What do you have in your mind? Paul says something. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, that I may be made conformable to his death. What do you have in your mind? Hallelujah. Because it's what you have in your mind that will be used to fight this battle. You are not going to import anything strange. It's what is already there. It's what you have in your bag. Hallelujah. The man had 5 polished stones. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm telling you that what will lead this warfare is 5 polished stones. What will be used to overcome the giant is the 5 polished stones. Just flip over to Ephesians chapter 4. 5 polished stones. Hallelujah. The church is losing out. We are not able to identify the 5 polished stones in our midst. Right now, they are dead. Right now, the 5 polished stones are hiding. They are being concealed. But there is the ministry of David that is going to bring them out. Because it is a time they are needed more than ever. The fivefold ministry is needed more than ever. Where do you function? Where can you be found? Just go down to verse 15. He said something there. Sorry. No. Go back. Go to 11. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, "He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." And number one ministry out of the fivefold that he gave, he said he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some shepherds, and some teachers. He says the assignment of this fivefold stone is to perfect the saints. For when the saints are perfected, when the saints are in the process of being perfected, they are going to knock down the giants. They are going to deal with the giants. Hallelujah. Because when that which is perfect comes, that which is imperfect will give way. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
The fivefold ministries have an assignment to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And this assignment will be carried on until they finish all the giants on the land. I don't know whether you understand. It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is the assignment. What is in your bag? What stones do you have? You know what David did? Out of the five, he used only one. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And by the time he threw it, boom, it didn't land on the man's forehead. And he fell there flat. Hallelujah. There is a company of people. They will deal with the giant. They will not just knock him down. They will cut off his head. They will take away his weapon. Such people are here tonight. Such people, God is looking for them tonight. And I can tell you that David got used to killing giants. Because from 2 Samuel, he came against another giant. And he dealt with him. And the man wanted to kill him. But he had trained other giant killers. They rose up and they dealt with the man. And they resuscitated David. And they tell him, don't go to war again. Please go back home and rest. God is raising man. There is an order with God. These present elders will not be the end of this generation. God is going to raise man. He says that you, Timothy, just commit this thing to faithful men who will be able to carry on this work. You see, the church have nothing to give to the young people. The older generation have nothing to give them. We have not been training them to war. We have not been training them to contend. We have not been training them to overcome the giant that are oppressing them. The giant of media. The giant of internet. We are not training them to overcome it. But we can train them and send them to school. We can train them and give them new clothes. But we are not training them to fast. When we declare fast in my house, everybody's face will change. But sorry. I tell my wife, wash up the pots until night. It is compulsory. And it's becoming compulsory. Hallelujah. When you write one exam and you write it three times, you write a jump, you write it three times, you write it four times, and you're not getting admission, then you begin to know that something is amiss. Nobody will tell you to begin to fast and to pray for yourself. Hallelujah. David overcame, he slew the giants. There are many things that are walking over our mind. But tonight, there is victory. Can we stand on our feet and begin to pray? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Let's begin to pray. Hallelujah. He will fill my cup today to overflowing, as the Lord commanded me. Bring your vessels, not a few. He will fill my heart tonight to overflowing with the Holy Ghost and fire. Truth and fire. You don't know the song? You don't know it? You don't know the song? So why are we not singing? As the Lord comes.